Welcome to the Matt Haycock Show, a podcast about business, money, and life. Matt has been making money and making mistakes for over 20 years. And in this podcast, he shares his thoughts and stories so you can improve your business, finances, and life, whilst hopefully avoiding the mistakes he and others have made along the way. Listen in and level up.
Also got no issue with anybody else's release, but I guess the one thing I do know about religion is there's a fuck ton of money involved in it.
There is.
Hey guys, it's Matt Haycox here, and today I've got quite a departure from our usual kind of guest, but I think it's going to be very interesting for us all the same. And as with all my guests, you know, whether they're business people, celebrities, or people from other walks of life, I'm sure there's something that we can pull out of this in terms of being able to apply, you know, tangible benefits, actionable advice when we finished the interview. So I've got with me Komatan. And for the first time in a long time, I'm actually going to have to read off my notes because this is so unusual that it's so unusual. That I don't even know about much about this myself as well. But I'm looking forward to learning as much as you are. But Komatan is a British astronomic philosopher. He's a religious leader and a scholar, as well as a revivalist known for founding astronism. Have I said that right?
Correct.
Astronism, from the age of 15, and for naming and organising the astronic tradition of religion and philosophy. So, long story short, he's invented a religion and a philosophy.
Yeah.
But I think what we'll find super interesting as well is, from that inventing and getting it out there, he's ended up with over 1 million followers on all these different social media platforms. He's also a business graduate, got a keen interest in marketing. So I'm sure there is lots and lots that we can learn from this, you know, whatever our religious or philosophical persuasions are. That was a tongue twister, wasn't it?
It was.
Right. That's enough of my notes. Go on, tell us what that means.
What astronism means?
I guess what the astronism means, what the religion side of it is, what the philosophy side of it is, and how it all began, really.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, it's a mixture between a religion and a philosophy. So we've got some religious elements. So we've got beliefs, whether they be supernatural or just natural beliefs. And then we've also got the philosophical side. So we question things, we challenge things, we don't just take things for what they are. We grapple with things, which is the philosophical side.
Forgive my interruptions along the way, but I'll forget by the time we get to the end.
Yes.
So when we say it's religious,
yes.
Do you have a god?
Not in the sense. No, not really. Basically, it's based on astronomy. It's based on space. We see space as the future of humanity, number one, that it provides us with purpose. Its exploration provides us with purpose, that we can get spirituality from space. I get spirituality from space. When I look up to the stars, I feel something inside that sort of connects me to that. And that's where it all came from, really.
What were you doing?
That feeling is where it came from.
In terms of religion and philosophy prior to this, did you follow another religion? Or?
I was brought up Roman Catholic. Quite a deeply religious childhood, really. My grandmother was deeply Roman Catholic. And so, you know, we went to church. But more than that, she was a very devoted person. But I wasn't ever really interested in it. You know, I never really got involved in it before that. And then sort of from the age of 15, I decided I wanted to become a writer. And I started writing mystery books.
And just a writer in general?
Just a writer in general, yeah, that's how it started. And then I started getting introduced to religion again, because my grandmother died and I sort of went away from religion. It didn't have any place in my life. And then I started getting back into religion again and learning about all the different religions. We'd never been allowed to learn about all the different religions because my grandmother was so focused on Catholicism that we weren't allowed to question. We weren't allowed to think about anything else. So it opened up a whole new world for me. I started learning about philosophy, theology, and then that's where all of these ideas started to come from. That's what then led to the creation of the Omnidoxy, which is the book, the founding book of astronism.
And you wrote that book. That's how it.
That's how it came about. Yeah, I started receiving sort of ideas and sort of revelations, but not particularly from God, just ideas and inspirations about space, about the future of humanity, about future of religion, from the age of 15. And then I started actually writing those down in a proper book when I was 17.
And I read in some of my notes somewhere that it's 2 million words long, is it?
Correct, yes.
What's that in pages? I can't put that into context.
It's probably about 5,000 pages, but that's A4 pages.
You wrote it all?
I wrote it all, yeah.
And that's what? How long?
Probably about 5 years of dedicated writing, on and off, 5 years. But the only reason why I was able to write that much was because I was experiencing something quite profound, which was I was getting ideas every single day about astronism, about philosophy, about religion, all different elements of it.
And get, just, again, just some ideas. Contextualize,
yeah,
just give us some ideas.
Yeah, well, I looked at the space in a different way to perhaps what scientists look at it. I look at it more in a philosophical way, more in a religious way, and started thinking about, you know, is there life out there in space? That's one question that, you know, I really want to try and answer, but in a philosophical way, in a religious way, because I think it has profound importance to why we're here, you know, why we're even on this planet. Should we explore space? What is out in space? What connection do we have to space? All these types of questions were floating around in my mind, and I was just getting idea after idea about one idea was astro-spirituality, which I find really interesting, which is this idea that I said before, which is at the core of astronism, is that when I look up to the stars, just as when someone goes into a church, I feel that same feeling. You know, I get some sort of spiritual feeling from it. I get some sort of belief about why I'm here, about why we're all on this planet. You know, I just get it from that. I don't know why, but I just started to feel that. And it's grown and grown. And then the word astronism came along maybe only about 3 years ago. So I'd already started writing this book, and then the word astronism came along, and it just sort of developed from there really into a whole religion. More people have got involved. They've started contributing their ideas. And what we can talk about as well is sort of how a new philosophy, how a new religion can, I suppose, navigate this very commercial world, you know, this sort of, you could say, secular world, you know, this world where religion doesn't play a big part for people's lives anymore. You know, I represent sort of a counterculture to that, I suppose. You know, I'm saying it still matters. You know, these new ideas can revive. That's why I refer to myself as a revivalist, you know, someone who wants to bring religious ideas back and philosophical ideas back that are beyond the material world, maybe. But, you know, just to sort of reimagine it, I suppose, you know, for a modern context,
So I guess taking this now onto some branding and commercial and yes, business type angles, when you decided you wanted to you know, spread the word about this and, yes, and get other people involved, you know, how did you begin?
Well, around the time that I was writing the Omnidoxy, I was also doing my business and marketing degree, like you mentioned before.
And at the point of writing the Omnidoxy, yes, I mean, did you have any other followers? Had you discussed it with other people, or was this all just writing for yourself at that point?
No, I started to discuss it with other people around me from sort of day one, really. Family members and friends at first, but then people in wider society that I didn't know before. So yeah, I was doing my business and marketing degree, and then as I was going along and as astronism was beginning to form, this doesn't happen overnight, it happens over years, you know, I'm having to condense it down. I started to apply the marketing theory, the business theory, to what was forming this astronism. I was thinking, right, we're going to need a logo or a symbol. That's the same thing as what a brand would be. We're going to need a website. We're going to need everything that a business needs. But at the same time, we're going to have to be very careful about how we present ourselves. You know, imagery. How are we going to develop that? I mean, for us, it's quite easy because we just use pictures of space. On our website, if you go on to astronism.com or astronism.org, those are two of our biggest websites. They're all space images and to inspire people, to get people to understand that, to see space in that way, in a spiritual, in a religious, in a philosophical way. Because most people probably won't see it in that way. Most people see it in a scientific way, won't they? You know, it's part of science, sure, isn't it? You know, so I'm sort of representing looking at space in that way.
And when you create this brand, when you yes, get this message out to the people, what's the monetization of this? You know, I mean, how have you funded it to date, and yeah, how do you then generate funds going forward? Yes. Because I guess, I mean, look, I'm not a religious person. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly have beliefs. You know, one way or the other, and I've also got no issue with anybody else's beliefs. But I guess the yes, one thing I do know about religion is there's a fuck ton of money involved in it.
There is. Yes.
And I guess where all this money comes from, I was going to say I don't know, and obviously I do know it's the donors
yeah,
and the practitioners. But yes, you know, and there seems to be, in the area where I live, around Leeds, there's more and more of these almost like micro niche religions popping yes, up, and I only know about it because I see them taking over, you know, pretty prime pieces of real estate,
right? yes,
and that's where the congregation's going, and you know, they're obviously, you know, they're generating a brand, they're generating a following, and they are monetizing that yes, in some way, shape, or form. So
definitely,
how do you become one of those pastors with a private jet preaching from the Manchester arena?
Well, I mean, I'm not at that stage, and I don't think I'd ever want to be, really. I'm a simple person, really. I'm from the north. I'm not gone to a special university. I've not done anything like that, and that's not really my ambition, is to sort of become rich. If I ever got lots of money, I would put it into this, so I would keep investing it into this because that's what I believe in.
Are you asking your followers, your members, or whatever, for donations? Is there a cost to be involved?
Well, we have probably two groups of people. There are investors. So these are people who not only believe in astronism, but they believe they're involved in the space industry as well. Okay. So I've got quite a lot of connections in America because there's a similar movement going on there. Because they're really into space over there, and there's a huge space industry that is rising up, which I believe will become the biggest industry, which is quite a big claim, mm-hmm, but I think it will be as we go into space more. So, you know, a lot of those are involved, and there's a lot of investment going on at the moment. And obviously, you know, we want to be part of that. We see ourselves as the religion of space, the philosophy of space, the religion that people are going to take with them when they go up into space, for example. That's where the way I see the future. You know, it might be quite difficult to see that now, but I'm thinking years ahead, you know. I mean, I'm 21 now. I might be gone by the time all this comes to fruition, but you've got to start somewhere.
I don't get, yeah, you know, I guess I'm starting to learn all yes, this myself, yeah, listening time, to you, yeah, you know, what is very, very true, you know, in any space is that, you know, I get, you know, the big ideas and the big visionaries yes, are the ones who make yeah, the mega money. I mean, you know, when you look at the household names of an Elon Musk, you know, yeah, you know, I'm yeah, sure like him, when yeah, he comes out there saying, I'm going to invent an electric car that is gonna be on every high street, yeah, people look at him like he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
And you know, very, very much the same with a Steve Jobs and an Apple, yeah, or a Bill Gates and a Microsoft. Definitely. You know.
Yeah.
If you're not thinking big, you know, if you're not creating a solution to millions and millions of people's problems, then yeah, then you're not gonna have a business or whatever you want to call it that is going to generate that kind of funds.
Yeah, and you know, I'm providing maybe not a practical solution, but more of a cultural one and more of a spiritual one, filling that gap that maybe people feel, you know, young people today. I get a lot of emails from young people, and it's one thing I wanted to talk about. Mm. You know, because they see me as someone, you know, I'm out there now.
How young is a young person? You're only 22.
Well, teenagers, you know, that's younger for me. But people older than me as well. But I find it interesting to get emails from the teenagers because, you know, they email me and say, you know, they've got ambitions and they've got the family's life and everything, but they feel that there's something missing, like they don't have that spiritual element to their lives, but they don't believe in God. So where do they go? You know, if you don't believe in God, if you don't, but if you still feel that there's something missing in your life, that you're not quite, that you've not got any purpose, for example, you know, we live in a very materialist, consumerist culture that can feel a little bit shallow sometimes, a little bit hollow. You know, how do you bring in that purpose, that deeper meaning to your life? And obviously, I believe, because this is what it's done for me, I believe Astronism and other movements as well, new movements, have the ability to do that. I believe it does. So,
but being a follower, yeah, or practitioner of Astronism, yeah, does that exclude you from other religious and philosophical beliefs as well?
No, it doesn't. It's very open. You know, it's like I said, see, it's interesting that you would say that, because if it was solely a religion, then I probably would have to say, no, you can only be part of Astronism. But because you've got that philosophical side, because you've got that open-minded side that maybe Christianity doesn't have or Catholicism doesn't have, you know, we've got that open-minded side, we've got that challenging side, we've got that rational side. It sort of balances it out and says, wait, no, people can think about other ideas as well. And they can be part of other, you know, like Buddhism, they could be part of Buddhism and Astronism.
So I think, you know, for me, the word that you said there, which is, as we're talking, I'm trying to find ways to kind of bring this back to my audience, or yeah, you know, bring this to business, or,
yes,
or, you know, how can we get takeaways, you know, from today's chat. And for me, you know, the key word there is open-mindedness.
100%.
Insofar as, you know, whether we're talking religion, life, business, you know, it's, yes, so important to be open-minded,
yes,
to, you know, to all kinds of ideas, philosophies, mm, you know, mm, not to consume them all willy-nilly, but, you know, but to, you know, to kind of go out there and explore, you know, what is on offer,
yes,
and what are the best bits that, you know, that you can take from it, and,
yeah,
you know, the best bits that you might take will be different to the best bits I might take, but, yeah, you know, ultimately, you know, for us all to be a better version of ourselves, you know, for our businesses to be a better version tomorrow than what it was yesterday, you know, it's about, you know, consuming information and finding ideas from as many people as possible.
Yeah, well, what we've seen maybe in the last 50 years is sort of what we call the marketization of religion. So if you go into Waterstone's shop now looking for a religious book or a spiritual book, for example, you will see a huge variety, Buddhist, Christian, Islamic. What's happened is that people are now able to choose, pick and mix in a way, the most important things to them from those different religions, and then sort of create their own unique spiritualities. And that's at the core of Astronism, because one thing that we do believe is the uniqueness of every person. So, for example, in Catholicism, for example, you know, you believe a set of beliefs that everyone else has to believe, but your uniqueness, you don't have as much uniqueness in that way. You know, you all got to believe a standard set of beliefs. Whereas in Astronism, you can sort of pick and mix. You don't have to believe everything. You maybe only just believe one thing, and maybe that's what you take from Astronism. But that's actually this idea of unique spirituality, the idea of a unique, everyone has their own unique take on Astronism, is really important to us, and sort of continues to make us philosophical. And that's what I want to sort of get out to people, is that we're constantly trying to keep that balance between the religious side, the idea that, you know, we have to be serious. You know, we're talking about serious things. We have to have beliefs and faith. but at the same time, trying to keep that open-mindedness, that uniqueness, and appreciating that not everyone's the same and they don't believe absolutely everything, you know, that they want to maybe have more of a pick and mix approach. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to be doing my PhD on. So I'm currently proposing to my university at the moment, my PhD, and I'm going to be looking at how, it's really relevant for me really, how a new religion can market itself, can commercialize itself, and how it interacts in this modern world, like on social media, for example. How does a religion market itself on social media? It's totally different from another business, any other industry.
So let's answer that.
But there's not much out there at the moment on that. So that's why I feel I need to do a PhD on it.
So let's answer that specific question in the context of how you've had your social media success. Because I mean, like I said, you know, a million followers across all these different platforms is a fantastic number. It's something that, you know, I'm sure all of my audience, you know, from entrepreneurs to established business owners to, you know, to celebrities and public figures, you know, I mean, that's a fantastic number. Mm. And you know, you've gone and done it from zero. So how have you actually done that?
Well, first of all, it doesn't happen overnight. I've been doing this 7 years, which
and pause the there because guys, this is what I talk about with, you know, week in, week out when we talk about you know, how long it takes and the fact that, you know, so many of you guys go, oh, Instagram doesn't work for me. Well, it doesn't work for you because you've done one post, you know, once in 6 weeks and then given up and got depressed on it. This, you know, Comatan is an overnight success, 7 years in the making.
So. Yeah, correct. Yeah, you know, again, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to be very persistent and persevere with what you're putting out there, and try and keep it as unique as possible. What I see is a lot of brands and a lot of public personalities posting a lot of the same things. You know, I think that's, you know, they're all either posting pictures of themselves or selfies and things like that. What I've noticed is that people like what I'm putting out there because it is quite unique. Well, it is unique. You know, no one else is putting the same thing out there. You know, quotes from me, from my book, for example. That's what we do on Instagram. We do like these lovely little quotes. That's how we just get our message out there. On Facebook, you know, we do events, we do videos, we do more, you could say, bringing in the philosophical side. You know, it's not just about, I mean, I have a personal Facebook and that's where I put all my own selfies and my own pictures with people that I know. But on my social media, on the Comitan page, you know, it is all professional. It is all only professional images. It's keeping that quality of images as well, you know.
Now, one of the things I always talk
about... difficult.
One of the things I talk about in terms of the kind of content that should be created is about giving value to your audience.
Yes.
As you know, as opposed to, you know, doing what suits you. And I guess, you know, that ties when you talk about selfies or what you've had for your lunch, etc. You know, what kind of content can you give that is going to make people come back? Because you're giving them value time and time again, you know, before ever trying to sell to them. I mean, give me some examples of how you would give value to your audience.
Well, of course, the way we give value is by maybe making someone's day a little brighter by giving them a quote that might really resonate with them. It might not resonate with everyone, but they might be going through something that they might think, wow, that just really resonated with me, and that really... you know, and I kind of want to feel the same tomorrow. You know, so it's that, we're providing that type of value.
And again, what you just said there is super important as well, that it may not resonate with everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so important when starting your business, building your brand, that, you know, that you know what your brand is and where you want to take it. I think, you know, for me, you know, astronism or any kind of religion is the prime example, because you are never going to appeal to all the people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Christian, you're not going to be interested in Muslim content. I can't think of enough examples to give, but yeah, you know, if you're a Buddhist, you're not going to be interested in Jewish content.
Yes.
So you know, it's about not deviating from what's right for you and for your brand.
Yes.
And you know, if you find, you know, if you can build your followers one at a time, one day at a time,
yeah,
then you know the ultimate snowball effect of that 7 years down the line is obviously what you've seen yourself. But
definitely,
not to, you know, don't go out there worrying about how do I please all of the people all the time,
yeah,
because this is absolutely impossible. And you know, and again, the way I'll always, you know, explain it is, don't be afraid of either pissing people off or not resonating with a certain group of people, because if you don't resonate with them, then they're not your audience anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, so why waste your time now trying to keep them happy, because they ain't going to be your customer in the future, and concentrate on the people that do get you, and, you know, find more and more people like that.
Definitely. And that is funny that you brought that up, because that just resonated with me this week, because I got published on, like I was saying before, I'm in contact with some American people who've got a website out there that gets quite a lot of attention. It's like a space philosophy website, so they're sort of talking about similar things to what I'm into. And I put an article out there, and I knew I was going to get a lot of not just criticism, but insults, you know, attacks. I knew I would do. Often, if I mention the word religion in the title of something, that immediately...
Well, you've already pissed people off.
yeah. So, you know, I always am bracing myself for that. But I thought, no, I'm going to continue. I'm going to write what I want to write. I want to get my message out there. And yeah, you've just got to brace yourself for, you know, that type of response. And especially with what I do, it means something to people. You know, I'm talking about things that... I'm not just trying to sell something. I'm actually talking about beliefs, things that are actually really important to people's lives and where they're going to go in the next life if they believe in that. You know, so these aren't trivial things. And so that's why people are so passionate about it. That's why people comment so horribly sometimes, because they're passionate about what I'm talking about as well. So in that sense, yes, it is very deep what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about beliefs, we're talking about religion, but I like that. I don't want to talk about trivial things. You know, I don't want to try and just post a selfie and see, you know, with an advert in it or something like that. I want to talk about real things, you know.
Well, you know, you've got
and
to.
You don't see that much.
But
now,
you have to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
What you're passionate about,
yeah,
and ultimately what you're prepared to put the time and effort into. Because you know, as we said, you know, 5 minutes ago, you've been doing this for 7 years.
Yes.
And you would not have been doing it for 7 years had you not loved every, you know, pretty much every day of it.
Yeah.
You know, even the bad days with it.
Yeah.
And that is why now, you know, when someone can look at your audience and go, well, how the hell did you, you know, generate 11 million? Sorry. Generate a million followers on social. Well, the answer is because, you know, you didn't set out on day one to generate a million followers. You know, you set out there to do something every day that you loved and believed in and put the effort into, you know, regardless of the ups and downs along that journey. And you know, for me, you know, success is a byproduct of that.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
Definitely. And I think another point that I wanted to touch on was the fact that we have a multitude of brands, you could say, within Astronism. So we've got the Astronism brand, but then you've also got me. I'm a separate entity. I'm a person. I'm the founder of Astronism, but I do other things as well. You know, so I'm a separate brand to that. We've got multiple publishers. We've got multiple different websites. They've got all their own branding. So it isn't, again, just Astronism. There's a huge amount, and it's constantly growing. I'm doing something at the moment called the Astronic Society, which is going to be sort of, it's going to promote sort of education in this area of study. And again, that requires all new branding for itself. So it's like a subsidiary organisation to Astronism as a whole. So you've got Astronism there at the top, that's sort of the headline brand, and then you've got all these other brands that are derivating from that. And again, Comitam, me, I am one of those brands. So it's very complicated as well. You know, it's not very simple in that way. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that maybe people don't see. You know, there's a lot going on. So
a minute ago, obviously, yeah. We mentioned about negative comments on some of your posts, yeah. And hate, etc. So I guess that's a nice segue into, yes. Dealing with something that's very topical at the moment and a very, I guess, you know, on my agenda, which is trolls, you know, hateful comments, yeah. You know, the haters in general, and how you deal with them, yeah. Or how one deals with them. I mean, you know, I presume this is something that you get a lot of grief for, do you?
A huge amount of grief, especially as we were saying before, because of the area that I'm talking about. I do get a mixture. I mean, I don't want to say I get everyone hates me. I'm not saying that, but you know, I do get I've obviously got supporters, but we always tend to focus on the negative comments for some reason, don't we? You know, we look. Oh, if there's a million good comments, we'll always look at the one that's bad. A lot of my hate comes from the hating on my ideas rather than on me personally. So that is a difference. So I don't feel it as personally to me.
Is that because you feel that you can hide behind the Comitam name, the Comitam brand?
Because
I guess to me, I would say, you know, if someone's hating on you because of your beliefs or your ideas, I mean, you know, ultimately, you know,
it's you.
You are one and the same. Correct. You know, if someone gives me shit, you know, I can't distance myself from it because they go, oh, well, it's just my video or my belief they don't like. I mean, I am my video, I am my belief.
Yeah, correct.
So do you feel having that stage name, that...
Yes.
I can't even say that word that begins with a P.
Persona, yes.
Persuadinism, or what's it called?
Yeah, the word.
Pseudonym, yes.
Yeah.
We've got our dictionary behind the camera, so...
Yeah,
having that pseudonym helps and protects you.
Yes, it does. And I think I've definitely created, in my own mind, a mechanism to remove my... I mean, I'm still working on it, to be honest. You know, I am still working on it.
By the way, having that Comitam name and brand, was that intentional or did that just kind of come about?
It came about. When I was 15, like I said, when it all started, you know, I was still going by Brandon then. That's my birth name. And yeah, that sort of came about maybe 3 years later. I decided that I wanted something simple, but then I also wanted something sort of to do with space, you know, so Comet, obviously, yep. Something flies in the space. So I wanted something like that would, again, align with my beliefs, or sort of give a person an idea about what I believe from my actual name. So again, that's another branding technique that we've looked at and developed. But yeah, I think I've definitely managed to create a mechanism in my own mind to remove myself from, you know, just some of the comments, you know. Some of the ones that are more personal, yeah, I have to try and remove myself from it. I'm still trying to figure out what the best method is, really. I mean, sometimes I will look at the comments and I'll sort of have a really thick skin and I will read all the comments. And sometimes I'll even reply to them. But then other times, if I'm feeling not as strong, then I won't look at them. You know, it depends on my mood, I suppose. But yeah, I think, especially what I do, you know, it's, I'm always going to get criticism with it, you know, not everyone's not going to agree with what I'm putting out there. So it's just part of the, the job, I suppose.
Yeah, it's part and parcel,
you know,
anyone trying to get scale,
yeah.
on anything, yeah. That's in the public eye and anything that's a brand. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's ultimately no way to avoid it. I mean, look, you know, some industries are, yeah. Going to get it worse than others. And I'm sure, you know, religion and philosophy is pretty much up there with
some of the ones that get it the most.
Crime.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
But you know, you've all got to find your own mechanisms for dealing with that, because there is ultimately no way to avoid it.
Yeah, I think that as well. You know, obviously having a good network around you is really important. You know, not everyone's got that. You know, I'm very lucky to have that. I've not mentioned yet that I've got 7 brothers and sisters. So, you know, they're all around me. I've got a big family. They're all around me. I've got...
Are they followers, practitioners?
Well. Some of them are interested in it, yeah. You know, it's again, not something that happens overnight. They sort of want to know about it, and then they'll go away and have a think about it. Then they'll come back and ask some more questions. It's not just sort of, oh, yeah, I'm definitely joining it. You know, it's more of a gradual thing. But, yeah, quite a few of them are really interested in it and want to know and sort of... They're involved with it as well. They help me in different things, you know, they support me. So, yeah, it's about having a good network around you. I think that's building it up as well to get people around you you trust. You know, that again, that doesn't happen overnight.
Of course.
You know, getting people around that you trust, that you know will have your back no matter what. And family is one of the best things to do that. So I'm very, very lucky to have... you know, a big family behind me who support me. But another thing I wanted to just touch on as well was the fact that sometimes I do like to read the comments, because sometimes they improve what I'm doing. You know, a person might be sort of criticizing me, but they might actually have a really good idea, a valid point, you know, and that improves me. You know, so I try and look at it in a proactive way. I think that's a really good thing to look at. You know, sometimes you can't look at things in a proactive way. If someone's calling me an idiot, I can't really look at that in a proactive way. But, you know, a lot of people who want to criticize specifically astronism, you know, a lot of it is actually improving astronism at the same time. It's making it stronger. It's making it more refined. You know, if they find a gap in it, or if they find a fault within it, or in what we do, in our message, we can rectify that. So I kind of say thank you to some of these people who are sort of criticizing me, because you're improving it every day. You know, improving astronism and making it better. So,
tell me, your book. Has the book been published?
Yes, it has. Yeah.
And was that self-published or?
Well, I originally wanted to get a publisher, and then I decided I actually want to publish it myself, because I want to keep not only the rights to it, but I want to keep everything internal. I've had a lot of, and this is something else we can talk about as well, a lot of people using me, you know, using the name or fraudsters, you know. I'm quite an easy target in that way. You know, I mean, especially when I was a bit younger, you know, when I was more in my teenage years and had only just started it, I sort of believed everyone, you know, that they could publish my book and, you know, make it an amazing success. And I believed them all because I was so naive still at that time. Now, having been through quite a few different disappointments and people stealing money and, you know, and just exploiting me and different things that I do, you know, I've realized that I want to make everything internal. So the process, I call it internalization. So not doing anything out house, bringing it all in house, doing all the branding ourselves, doing all the advertising ourselves, doing all the publishing ourselves. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But it actually does help, because you retain that control. And we can still have a huge impact, like we've said, you know, a million followers. We can still have a huge impact without having an outside organization like a marketing agency or whoever, or a publisher behind us.
So
what I want to promote. I want to promote that internalization, getting it all in-house. I mean, it won't work for everyone, but for me, it's been vital.
And how many people are in the team?
At the moment, there's myself, obviously, I'm the main worker. Mm-hmm. I'm probably less than 10, you know, less than 10 at this point.
What, are these full-time people? Are they?
No, they're not either, no. So, you know, it's in that sense, I mean, I take most of the work on. Most of what you see, all the websites, I've done all those myself. So I've had to learn about how to create websites. There's so much I've had to learn myself from Astronism that I never thought I'd have to do. I never thought I'd have to learn how to do, create my own websites, or, you know, do my own accounting, or, you know, things like that. So it's been a real learning process for me as well. You know, I've had to build up my own skills and abilities. But yeah, very, very small team at the moment for what we do and what we put out there. But it's not 9 to 5, especially not for me. I'm doing this every single day. I'm a bit of a workaholic like that, but I suppose I wouldn't be able to have done what I have if I wasn't a workaholic. I'm just vocated to it. I'm just devoted to it. You know, I believe it. I want other people to know about it, to understand it. And again, that comes from another example was being able to write that book that's 2 million words long. That type of something within me, that spark, started when I was 15 years old, and it's still there. You know, it's still pushing me forward today. That's why I can sort of work, you know, constantly on this. You don't get that in everyone, you know, I understand that. But for me, that's the only way that it could be what it is today, really. Cool. So it's about having that huge amount of motivation and love for what you do, really, you know, and belief. So, and yeah.
Is there anything else you want to get across while you're here?
Well, at the moment, I'm studying for my master's degree. Like I said, I'm also submitting my PhD proposal at the same time. So as soon as I've done my master's, I'll go in straight into my PhD. At the moment, what I'm researching is the history between astronomy, religion, and philosophy. Because astronomy and religion have been interacting with one another for thousands and thousands of years, and no one yet has ever looked at that in history. So that's something I'm researching at the moment in my academic life. In business life, one of the biggest things that we need to do at the moment is get Astronism recognized as a religion in different countries. So that's something we've not touched on yet, is sort of the global element of Astronism and how it's going to places like China, it's going to places like America, and I have to be ready for that. You know, I have to be able to translate my book into Chinese, for example. That's a huge market for us, because a lot of them there either don't have a religion or they're really into space. You know, they love space exploration. It's huge in China. So again, trying to translate everything is a massive, huge thing, because a lot of the words in the Omnidoxy are new words that I've created. So I have to, how do you translate a word that's new? So again, that's something else that I'm working on at the moment. Continuing with social media, continuing to get the message out there, and also to introduce people to me, you know, like we're doing this interview, you know, introducing people to my story, and getting myself out there even more on more traditional media. Because obviously I'm on social media, I've been successful on that, but I've not done a huge amount of television yet. So I want to sort of move into that area as well. And again, you know, just setting up more organizations and charities and thinking of new ways to get investment and moving into different industries as well. I want to go into the fashion industry at some point. I want to go into all different industries, really. I see Astronism as being able to really, has the potential for it is unknown, really. It could go on forever, you know. Astronomical clothing, for example, themed clothing, or that's sort of what I want to go onto at some point, you know. And
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. There's a huge amount to do, but
well, it sounds
we're getting
busy.
There. Yeah.
It sounds very busy, and I'm glad we got to meet you at the beginning of the journey.
Yes.
So, thanks a lot for coming,
buddy.
I'll
come back at some point and let you know how I'm going on.
Well, I'll look forward to it. I will look forward to it. So, and before you go, tell the guys at home how they can find you, how they can follow you, what we're looking
Well, I've got my comitan.org website, so that's my own personal website. That you'll find all the latest stuff on from me. Most of my social medias are Comitan Official. So you can go on and on Facebook, on Instagram and all those different places. If you want to know about Astronism specifically, go on to astronism.com or astronism.org or just type it into Google. That's another area that we've trying to improve on is our Google search.
Perfect.
So yeah.
Cool. Well, listen, guys, I hope you found that interesting. Like I said from at the beginning, it was a bit of a departure from the stuff that we usually talk about. But what was interesting for me was all of the general principles of business and branding and marketing. A lot of the stuff I talk about anyway, you know, almost naturally came into the conversation today. You know, we talked about the importance of having the right network around you, of how to build a brand, of the fact that, you know, things take a long, long time, that you've got to be passionate about your business, that you've got to believe in it for the long term, that you've got to give value to your customers, your followers, all the things that I talk about time and time again. So whatever your religious beliefs, whatever your philosophical views are, I hope you found today's interview interesting. Thanks a lot for coming, Comitan. And as always, if you don't follow me on Instagram because you just watch this on YouTube, please go and go to Matt Haycox, T-H-E-M-A-T-T-H-A-Y-C-O-X. And if you don't subscribe, please press subscribe down below. And I look forward to giving you more great interviews with inspirational people, interesting people, celebrities and business leaders. We'll see you again soon.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Matt Haycox Show. For more Matt, check out his YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Matt Haycox, or go stalk him on Instagram and Twitter, the Matt Haycox, and we'll see you soon.